We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon, continuation of the political season. Don't forget the debate coming up tonight. Tonight is the last presidential debate, so you want to watch it. You know, there were a lot of fireworks last time, and as somebody said this morning, they were looking forward to it. But and I said, you're looking forward to it? And he goes, yes, after the last one. But then he commented that they are sitting down, so I don't know how much fireworks we're actually going to have. But it will be interesting talking foreign policy this afternoon or this evening on the presidential. And, of course, this afternoon we have Bob Fisher, who is sole running for County Council District 7. And how you doing today, Bob Fisher?
Doing just fine. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely. Now, you've had a rocky road. When we talked to you back in May, I think everything was copacetic, but then there was the election, and then things fell apart, and you were off the ballot, on the ballot, and just give us a little update how all that turned out for you.
Well, I went from winning the primary, being the certified District 7 Republican, to the Republican Party decertifying, or to being served papers, going to the court, being decertified the day before the court case, Judge King saying that I did file properly, and for the Republican Party to put me back on the ballot, then just...
How'd that make you feel, to be win, be decertified by the Republican, and then having been put back on? How'd that make you feel?
I love my local Republican Party. I like really nice friends, nice people. State Republican Party, not such a big fan, to be honest with you. They abandoned you the day before the election, before the trial. Then after that, the Democrats filed another suit wanting the judge to reconsider or give them a chance to appeal the verdict, which I believe was to try to get it before the state Supreme Court, and that kind of died. So I was very happy that one died because I didn't want to have any more political wranglings with on the legal side.
Absolutely.
But I will be on the ballot as a petition candidate and as a Republican candidate. You can't vote both, but you can vote either one. They told me that the votes are supposed to be added together, so it doesn't make a difference which way you vote.
So if somebody votes straight Republican Party, that would be a vote for you.
Yes.
If they want to vote across the board and decide who they're voting for specifically, they could vote you either as Republican or as petition.
Yes, I've had a couple of Democrats say they wanted to vote for him, but they wouldn't vote for him as Republican, but they'd vote for him as a petition candidate.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You're going to have a win-win situation then, right?
Just keep adding them together. I don't care. I was asked, would you rather be voted for as Republican or as a petition candidate? And I thought about it. I said, well, I worked a whole lot harder to get my petition candidacy than I did my Republican candidacy. After I won the primary, I worked a whole lot harder to get that petition signed.
How many names did you need for your petition?
Oh, I was supposed to have basically 300 names within a few. I can't remember, it was just
right
above or below 300. And when I started counting them up, I had friends started helping me.
Right.
I had over 500.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, Bob.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And, you know, for some, there were huge numbers that were necessary. So, And 300 in your district, and that has to be in your district, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it was out of, you've got to get 5%, and so that means I got about 8%. So that was a big difference. I was worried about not getting enough, and then several good friends chipped in and started helping me get signatures, and when I started putting them together, I was really surprised.
Wow. But what did this whole experience teach you? I mean, there has to be a lesson out of all this.
Well, I'm afraid the big lessons are here to come.
Okay.
As far as lessons at this point, being a boy who grew up on a farm, and this may be a little twist, but in a political meeting, there is more bull than there is in the whole barn lot. I have heard people make claims and statements, and man, this is really out there. So what people say and what people do seem to be there's a big disconnect between.
Yeah.
And in the political realm, it seems to say whatever somebody wants to hear, not...
Oh, boy, now that really is a comment, isn't it? Particularly when we talk about on federal level politics.
Well, you know, a lot of people fight so hard just to stay in instead of saying... And you've got to fight the distinction between what I believe and what the voters believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the more the voters know, the more they are to make the same decision you'll make, knowing what you know.
Sure.
So it's, and on a local level, this is a good county. We've got a lot of good people here. Mm-hmm. And it's not like this local county council was evil and mean and trying to destroy the county, but there were some mistakes made that made. I had several people talk to me and tell me, Bob, you need to run, you need to run, you need to run. And I finally started looking into it and decided, yes, I did want to run. And I just want to see if I can make
it. You've never run for any political office before?
Oh, no, never, never. It was always the deal, like, I was happy to sit back and complain about mm-hmm. politics, and then I finally realized that sitting back complaining is not going to do anything. That, you know, if I vote, so I have the right to complain. If you
sure.
don't vote, then you don't have the right to complain.
I agree with you 100% on that
one. So instead of just complain about it, why not try to do something? So.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about the whole issue of the in-district expense. What you see futuristically, I mean, by rights, you should be the candidate. You should win. Just by default, you'll win. So I know you've probably already started looking into some of the things that are going to be important to you and your district as we move forth. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of these things. If you have a question for Bob Fisher, he is for District 7, which what does District 7 actually cover, Bob?
Basically, you've gone up Highway 25 north and you get Deadfall Road. It's mostly everything north of Deadfall Road, all the way, Hodges, Ware Shoals. It goes out toward the lake, Harris Landing, the road going to Harris Landing, everything to the north of that road.
Okay, so it's a pretty good-sized district. But if you have a question or a comment you would like to make to Bob, just give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. When we come back, we're going to be talking. I hope you're going to be listening. Don't you go away. The weekend comes, my cycle
hums, ready to race to you. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Here at Sharp Facets Gallery, we're talking to Bob Fisher. He is District 7 County Council. And, of course, Bob is president of Emerald Welding out there in Hodges, correct? And how's business out there in Hodges at Emerald Welding?
Doing really good. Our coating side, which is for mostly textiles, is doing fair. We're staying busy enough. The welding side is, and we cater to industry. That's We'll do a walk-in, that's fine, but our main line is industry. We do whatever they want. We have, like I said, general contractor's license. We have steel fab and equipment, so we'll do anything industry wants. And we've been very fortunate that it's real busy right now.
Well, a lot of people, I guess, are trying to a lot of things, I think, had been put off. Can't only be put off for so long, right?
When the machines start breaking down and safety becomes an issue, you have to do something. And we've got a really good crew of guys, and they've worked hard during this hot summer, and they've been real happy to see the cool weather coming in. So,
absolutely,
things are good.
But let's switch now. You know, you're running for county council. We have had this issue with in-district expense. And, of course, I think the latest thing is that it should go to the Attorney General / the Ethics Office down there in Columbia. What, and I know you were one that was pushing for it to go there. What are your thoughts about this now, Bob?
Well, I actually thought this was a dead issue after all the lawsuits were settled and the people who it would affect in our county council. I thought this was just a dead issue until Chuck Motes brought it up. And I really was shocked when he brought it back up because I do believe the Ethics Commission is going to find this is not illegal, be maybe unadvised, because this is something that's been done at the state level for I don't know how many years. It was a way for the state politicians.
I think the difference is it was more public knowledge of it than it was here on our local level.
Well, exactly. The state politicians have been shorted because, I mean, you can't be a state senator for $12,000 a year realistically. You've had that in travel. But when you double your salary at the county level and nobody knows about it, everybody got upset.
Sure.
And when Chuck Motes brought it up, and I mean, it was his right to bring it up, he is a councilman. But it seems almost a little too late to be brought up now because it's not going to be, this money was salary. It's very simple, no matter how they want to address it. It was a salary. They were supposed to pay income taxes on it. And then.
But did they? That is the question, isn't that one?
Well,
question?
I'm not the IRS.
Right.
I know one council member who said, yes, she did from word go.
Right.
And I checked hers, and hers was on her ethics report every year. I discussed it with her, and she was, every year I report it because I knew it was income.
Right.
So the deal is, if anything, it's going to be a slap on the back of the hand. Tell them, you know, this is not advisable the way you did it. And the way it was slid into the budget, people didn't like it. There's no legal recourse.
I don't think anybody knew about it, did they?
Well, that was it. And then to bring it up now is I don't see the timing where it really benefited the county or anybody else at this point because there's no legal way they can get the money back from the individuals because the money's gone.
And, not only that, they have quit doing it. So that kind of says something right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think it's just going to be kind of a gray patch on our history, and we're just going to have to live with it. It's going to make it hard for the new county council, including me. Everything's going to be, we're going to have ourselves more scrutinized as to what we do, and I think it should be. I believe the people, it's their money. They have the right to know where it goes.
Sure. So what do you think futuristically after the first of the year, what do you think will happen? Will there be in-district expense or not?
I don't see it. The term in district expense does not really describe what it was, so I don't know how or what they're going to try, but I don't think they'll try it again because it's right now it shows it's political suicide.
Right. And I think the other thing county council is going to have to get back is going to have to get back some trust here.
They will, and that's going to be the hardest thing to do because people, you know, once you've done something like this, and I don't think it's as much somebody trying to steal. It's just somebody got a bad idea and followed bad advice and said, why not? People at the state do it. Why can't we? We're not senators. We're not driving back and forth to Columbia every day, so we can't claim the same things. So we're going to have just to work hard to see if we can build trust and keep things out in the open.
Well, I think one of the other issues, though, there were no receipts for what the money went for.
It was a salary. It don't make a difference. Receipts. It was an income. The thing, Edith Child, she did show some of the stuff she did with her money.
Right.
That was actually money out of her back pocket, or her purse, going to help her people. And what difference does it make? That was her money.
Right.
I just can't buy into the deal that it was for this or this. It was income you paid taxes on. It was gone. There were no receipts. It was reimbursements. Don't have to have taxes taken out on them.
Exactly. But if it was not taxable, then you would have to have expenses, correct?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, you know, one of the things I know that I'm sure as we move forward, that'll take care of itself. Now, what are the things do you think the county is going to? I know that you've had a jump on getting into this because you are the only one from your district. So what are some of the things that you think we're going to have to look at as the county moving forward?
Well, be it county government, state government, or federal government, in a bad economic environment, the main issue is jobs. Now, what can I as a county councilman do to create jobs? Not near as much as people think. What I can do is work with the economic development, see what we can do, what companies we can bring in. At standard procedure, you offer them a benefit package. The details of the benefit packages I'm not exactly sure of because I don't have access to those. But you've got to offer them enticements to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we can bring in good companies. I want companies that are good corporate neighbors that are looking to make a better community, that are looking for a home. I'd like to see...
Does the county have what's necessary to bring in good corporate partners?
We have land. We have good water.
Okay.
We have a fairly good work environment. Right now, one of the biggest problems that I see is a skilled workforce. One number that I heard, it was almost 50% of the people hired for the new companies that come into Greenwood that have an education requirement level of associate's degree or better come from out of this county.
Now, that's not good.
No. Piedmont Tech, I think, is doing a job trying to get more and more people in. That's their job. The more people they recruit, the better off, the more funds. So
sure.
It's their business. But they're also trying to develop it up to where we can have more local people fill these jobs. And we have companies coming in. They want to know what kind of workforce you have.
Sure.
And I want us to have the workforce they need. So that means we need people trained for these companies. And there's becoming more of a connection between the plants and the educational institutions as to what we need. And it's got to be a good communication. The plant has to let them know, this is the kind of people I need. Do you have these people?
Sure.
But there are several prospects coming up for plants. I don't know all the details. I just know some of the information. And it looks good for Greenwood, and it's not something that I did. Actually, a lot of this is not even something the present council did. This has been in the works for years.
Sure.
So it looks good. When the economy is coming back, I think more jobs will be coming back to Greenwood. We'll get a very good share of the jobs coming in.
Other things that you think, though, need to be addressed as far as our county, are there other things that we need to address?
Oh, we've got a lot of problems that need to be addressed. The biggest problem is as old as politics itself. The line between how much taxes is enough and how much is too much.
Sure.
Because we have an obligation on some aspects, we have a legal obligation to fulfill. There's laws requiring us to do certain things, like the 4% or 6%. If you have a second home, it's at a 6% rate.
Sure.
And if you have your primary house, it's at 4%. And that's adjusted by the state. That's not, I've told that's controlled at the state level. We can't control that, but we must enforce. And we, by law, must supply a jail. We must supply law enforcement, EMS. So there's things that we've got to do. And then there's things that we are morally obligated. There are times that there are people less fortunate that we've got to help out. How could you be a Christian and look at someone in dire need and not do something? And your heart feels compelled. But at the same time, this is the people's money. How far can you go?
Sure.
So there's a fine line to watch. And there's going to be issues like right now. One thing going on right now is between the city's been asking for favors. And the latest was the deal of the landfill fees.
Yes.
And it voted to go through to give them, take $800,000 worth of estimated landfill fees, drop that down to $200,000. The people who live in the city are also county residents. So they are paying taxes for county. And it's an iffy thing because you did it for Lander, so now you do it for here. When it started, how it started, but we've got a bunch of textile mills and old buildings left.
Right.
If we just make it a blank policy that we'll just supplement anything you want to tear down, we're going to get into some bad problems because the amount of landfill space we have is estimated to take us for the next, I think it's 5-6 years. When you start filling up quicker,
sure.
Then we're going to have to build a new, we're going to have to, you know, unearth a new landfill. And I hate to see the citizens pick up the tab for somebody making a mistake. And the old mill site was a mistake. Whoever went to tear that out should have had a security bond to guarantee they'd do the job. When they pulled out and left it, that security bond should have paid for that.
Somebody
dropped the ball. I don't know who. I don't have the power. Or it's a city issue, not a county issue. But that's one of the ones that worry me. And, yes, I think we're going to have to do that, but I don't know. There's more issues at hand that will be coming up with the city, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when it all comes down to money, everybody's always looking how to shave a dime or a quarter or whatever. So, yes, those are issues that we are all going to have to face. I know there's probably more issues that we can talk about, but right now we are coming up on South Carolina News. And, of course, we are here with Bob Fisher. He is District 7 out there, Hodges, all the way up to Ware Shoals and out to the lake out there. So if you've got a question for him, you know, he's going to be your man. Why don't you give him a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about right up till the 5 o'clock hour. So, you know, Bob Fisher, it's good to have you here, right here, sitting across from me this afternoon so we can answer some of these questions.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. All right, coming up in less than 10 seconds, it is South Carolina News, and then a word from our sponsors. If you'd like to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Monday, happy day.
That's right. We're right back here at Sharp Fast's Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, I'm Ann Eller right here with you. Debate coming up tonight, and of course, tomorrow morning I'll be talking all about it right on the I Love Ann Show. Hope you'll tune in for that. But this afternoon we have Bob Fisher here with us. He is District 7. He's going to be the county council from District 7, and it's good to have you here. He's a businessman. You know, I think it looks like the complexity of county council will be changing just because we'll have Steve Brown, you as a businessman. Steve Brown, of course, has a big background in city government, and so that's going to bring an interesting change to the council, isn't it?
It will. I think a lot of people are looking forward to it to see the change. Several council members have been there a long time, and we're nice people, and they had their own ideas what they wanted to see happen. And apparently, in my case, like I say, Bob Jennings, super nice guy. I talked to him several times, but the biggest thing when then district expense came up and other issues like that, and I won the primary by a slim margin, but I did win.
Sure.
And with Steve Brown, that he had issues, a lot of the same issues, and it just was a surprise to see it's going to be a surprise to see what happens, just the politics and the personalities, and see how things match up.
Absolutely. So, of course, now, when do you actually take office? I mean, the election is the 6th of November, but when do you actually take office?
I've not heard officially, but someone said it's like the first week of January.
First week of January. All right, so we're going to be interested to see if putting a businessman on county council is going to make a difference. So
it's going to be interesting because, to me, it's basic numbers. You can't spend more than you have.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be just a businessman. That should be everybody at their household level should understand that. That's very straight, is you can't spend what you don't have. And the hard thing is when you go, after years of county budget being down, it's hard to tell people we don't have the money. And to say we have the money means we increase taxes. Then you got to go to the voters and say, hey, guess what? We increased your taxes. And the county has dealt with that for years, and it's going to stay the same. I don't know where the fine line falls,
mm-hmm.
but that's a decision you make every year with the budget.
Absolutely, and of course, the budget is a big issue. You know, one of the issues that has been kind of batted around here lately has been a penny sales tax increase. I think Mayor Welborn brought that one up as an increase for the police department.
I understand his concern, but the problem is going to be, first off, the way it's advertised to give 70-something% back in tax relief to the homeowners. Anytime you tell a homeowner to give you some tax relief, it sounds good at first. But what's to keep them from taking this 70% and, oh, we need some more officers, so we're just going to knock it down 50%. Oh, we need something else, we're going to knock it down. And eventually the whole penny sales tax goes to whatever they want it to go to. I'm really opposed to it for several reasons. One is, if you want to take money from the whole county and use it to fight drugs, then that should be to the sheriff's office. even though the county council doesn't control the sheriff's office, and the sheriff is an elected official that does, the correct way would be give it and let the sheriff's department run the drug enforcement.
Sure.
I just can't see giving the county's money
to the city.
To the city.
And that would be countywide.
That would be a countywide tax.
Absolutely.
You know, if you need 20 more officers, and if that's what you truly need to fight drugs, then technically, if the county's going to pay for it, it should go under the county's budget and go to the county sheriff, I would think.
Well, that's just like the library is technically in the city limits, but we had a penny sales tax to pay for the library. And we also have for the...
But it is the county library, though. It's not
the
city.
But
it benefits the city a whole lot more than it does, say, the town of 96 or the town of Ware Shoals. So it does help the city more than it helps the county.
Right.
From that standpoint.
I just meant it was located.
It is located.
Within the city. But
yes.
It is a county, you're absolutely right, a county library. And then, of course, there's the issue of the lake. Now, if I remember correctly, I think we had, with that penny sales tax that we had just done away with back in June, we had raised actually more money than was actually needed for the lake issue.
Yes, we did, and that happened from a couple of things. One is the county, I guess, spent more. People in the county bought more than they estimated, so as the money came up to the amount, they did the political steps to stop it. Once they stopped it, there were still some stores in Greenwood still charged it 2 months later, and you had to call the state to stop it. You couldn't stop it on a county level. But as that went on, and the other thing was through some engineering, what they thought was going to be moving dirt, they were able to take numbers and recalculate the earthquake zone, and through some very thrifty engineers that knew how to do the numbers, we ended up having to do less work. We're not out of the woods with it. We don't know the details, all the details. I haven't heard I don't think it's finalized yet what we've got to do, but we've got to do a whole lot less than originally thought.
So therefore, it's going to cost a whole lot less.
We'll have millions of dollars left over.
Well, what happens to that millions of dollars now? I'm scared. What happens to that?
Two trains of thought here. One says you pay down bonded indebtedness, and from anybody, be a business standpoint or a personal homeowner standpoint, is it's always a wonderful thing to pay down your debt, because then you're just better off, you're stronger financially. Now, if we're going to pay down bonds, what scares me about that is, are we paying down bonds just so we can get more?
Mm-hmm.
That's be the wrong thing to do. If we're paying down bonds and just not going to get more to replace those, we're good. The other side of that would be, people have said, well, let's save this money for the lake issues, because there's maybe other issues at the lake. Put it in an account, let it draw interest, and just do not touch it unless there's an issue. I can see that, because I think there are going to be issues at Lake Greenwood that need to be fixed. And the money was also raised. I mean, it was raised for the library, and that's done. The money was also, so the only thing left it was raised for was the lake.
Absolutely.
And there's an issue of raising money for one purpose and then spending on another that worries me.
Yeah, well, you don't really have the right to. I was under the impression that if it was for those issues, it had to be spent on those issues.
It is, and the only thing is, if it was raised through property tax, you could give it back as property tax relief, because that's where it came from. When you raise it as a penny sales tax, you really can't give it back to the people that paid it, because you can't track that.
Yes, you can. I contributed X amount of dollars. Yeah, I'd like to see that. I think that would be pretty interesting. And particularly now, of course, I think we are generating more sales tax in our area just because we have more retail establishments now.
Yes.
With the new businesses that have opened.
We will generate more of a sales tax. It will keep more of the dollars here in Greenwood, and that's a good thing. As from a woman's standpoint of view, every time you announce a new Kohl's or one of the new popular stores, they get excited. Women love to know the new styles, new fashion. Most men are more like, well, just whatever I can wear is whatever I can wear. We're not so excited about the new stores.
Sure.
And that's understandable.
Except when it comes to something hunting, boating, things like that, I can see guys getting very excited about things like that.
Well, funny thing is, I don't hunt and I don't fish.
Well, you're in the minority, I think.
Very much so.
Hey, I'm here with Bob Fisher. We're talking about what's going to happen with the county, with some of the issues that will be coming up. Certainly hope you'll stay right with us. If you've got a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. Ready to race to you. These days are on. Gold dust and
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Right, we're right back here. It's a beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon right here in Greenwood. And you are listening to WCRS 1450 AM. And, of course, don't forget, you can listen on the stream at WCRS1450AM.net. And if you want to listen on your cell phone, your smartphone, you can do that, too. We have apps right there on WCRS. Also made some changes to the website, so make sure you check it out. That's WCRS1450AM.net. And this afternoon we're talking to Bob Fisher. We are talking about some of the issues facing the county. And Bob, what are some of the other things that you think are facing the county? We've talked a little bit about the lake issue. We've talked about that money sitting in that account, waiting to be spent or not spent. And then, of course, what else do you think?
Probably two things I can see that's going to be an issue is one is the city is asked about a penny sales tax for the parks. And
well, if we got two, that would be 6-8%. Hello.
Well, the one thing is, and they're saying they would need help. And the theory, I ask a county city councilman, I said, well, wait a minute, why should people out of my district pay for a city park? It's not even in my district. And he said, well, the people in the county can still use the city parks. And I said, yes. A penny sales tax, I think, would average somewhere between $200 to $300 a year per household, for the average household in this county. So I know my family does not get $200 worth of use of a city park. Or the Magnolia Park, not Magnolia, but the other one on, I'm trying to think of the other name of the park. Anyway, my company built the wrought iron for the entrance and donated it.
Cambridge Park.
County, right. We donated the wrought iron for the thing.
Wow.
So we're invested in that park, even though it wasn't in my district. I was asked, we were glad to help. But the thing is, I look back at it, and I said, well, what does it cost to keep these parks up? And he said, oh, we're around $70,000 a year. Well, a penny sales tax, I think, comes out to about $10 million a year. I said, come on, you got to tell me. Well, it was an idea of putting parks, more parks, building parks, having a lot of parks built up, and having, well, wait a minute, we're going to build a lot of parks in the city, and the county's going to pay for it, but you're not going out into the county building parks. Well, then if you start that, if you try to put a park at every subdivision in this county, that's not feasible, not justifiable, it's just not going to work. And I'm thinking, really, they're asking for a penny but wanting a lot less. That's got to be something, because I don't think they could actually believe a penny would be even considered.
Well, was there an idea of getting a penny sales tax to build the new park down here on the 72 bypass, the old CPW golf course area?
That may be. I'm sure that's some of the planning.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you have parks, Greenville has some beautiful parks, and everybody would love to have big, nice parks. But when you got a county that's 5 to 10 times our size, their tax base can cover a lot of things ours can't.
Well, I think, you know, one of the other things we got to look at is how much rural land do we have versus how much city land do we have, right? We have a lot of rural land that we have the ability to go out and be in.
In District 7, we've got Ware Shoals has a park, but that park is actually into Lawrence County.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a Greenwood Park in Ware Shoals, and the people of Ware Shoals do a good job taking care of that. The Hodges doesn't have a park, but the people in my district, if they want to get in touch with nature, we generally step out our back door, walk down the road. And it's hard for us to justify driving all the way to Greenwood just because you got a set of swings out there for somebody to swing in.
Sure.
So for District 7, that was a very hard thing for me to ever try to find any justification for. And I mean, I understand the city's issue that they want everybody to have a park and everybody to have a place. And the deal of, you have to have full-time attendance at a park now, because at night it turns into a place for people to meet to sell drugs if you don't. So there's some serious concerns, but that was really a shocker when they asked.
Don't you think that that's an issue that really comes up with when we have more money and we don't know what to do with it? You know, and we like to do all the extra good things that we have here.
Well, your comment is when we have more money than we know what to do with. We don't have more money than we know what to do with.
Exactly, yes.
We're already cutting budgets back. About every department in the county has suffered by not having funding that it used to have. Even our local schools have had their funding cut. So what is more important, an education or a park? And I know you can't, there's a combination of balance somewhere down the line, and I'm not one for pouring money into any problem.
Right.
We got to fix the problem and not just pour money at it.
Absolutely. Well, any other issues that you see, Bob, you know?
There is one. Greenwood County, I think, should follow kind of the guidelines of the city as far as if a county council decides to go somewhere, they just take off and go.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, here, give me reimbursement for it. And they get paid their reimbursement, and that's raised a lot of eyebrows because there's been some very expensive trips. Very expensive trips went on. Now, some of this has been justified, and some of it is questionable. The association or county government, I can't remember the exact terminology, they have a seminar, and there's classes to teach you what to get better for your county.
Sure.
Association, and they all pull together. They normally have it at Hilton Head,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're wrong. It should be at Columbia, where people can get reasonable hotel rooms or drive back and forth, basically.
Sure.
But when you have it at Hilton Head and you're buying condos for your county council to stay in, and I mean, if there were no hotel rooms, you couldn't find anything else, well, you put them somewhere.
Right.
But the county should not pay for me to go on vacation. If it's paying for me to go to a meeting, that's fine. But, you know, and realistically, if it's a hotel room and I take my wife, what did that hurt? But you shouldn't have to pay for me to go somewhere at this resort area. So that needs to be changed.
Well, you know, anymore, they also have a lot of, things you can do right on the computer, telecomputing, Skype, all this kind of stuff makes a big difference in how we can get our learning accomplished. We look at colleges and what they're doing anymore, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So I can see your point on that. So we've talked about some of the issues here that you see going forth and, of course, some of the issues in the past. What else would be something that you think that people should be thinking about futuristically? I mean, are there things that are going to be coming up that we're going to have to be trying to make a informed decision? I think one of the things that I have seen through county council, just for the record, is a lack of transparency.
It does seem like there's a lot. I mean, that the county council does, and it goes back to, I think, the whole thing of sometimes it's easier just to do something and not try to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that if you've got a 2-year-old or 5-year-old child and you start trying to explain them what you're doing and it doesn't make any sense, why but the problem is the people that we represent, they're not 5-year-olds,
right?
And if you try to treat them that way, they're being cheated out because they're the ones paying the money. If they wouldn't pay in taxes, then you could say, who cares? They're paying the money. So if they pay the money, we've got to go through the trouble to explain to them what we're doing.
They should have the ability to say, why?
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 Why? Why?
Exactly.
And some of the voters do that. Why? Why? It does come up sometimes. But it is realistically, they're paying the bills, so we're just writing the checks. They're paying the bills. So they need to know what goes on.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to ask you one more question here. You know, the Civic Center has been closed down. Have you done any investigating on that issue?
I've talked to a good many people, and one time there was talk about revitalization. Oh, and I think they were talking millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The county did it the first time. It didn't work. It went under. Now, unless they change what they plan to do, there's no need in trying it again. Now, I do believe there's justifiability to reopen the Civic Center and just fix it up, not brand new overhaul and make everything fancy, and go to some outside promoters. Get somebody who does this for a living and knows how to do it and say, listen, do you think you can bring people in? Do you think you can fill the seats? If you do, fine, let you do it. I don't think the county needs to try to be involved in running a civic center, because that's something the private sector can probably do better.
Yes, I agree. So there might be hope for the civic center yet.
I've had a guy that was involved in maintenance that said the building is not as bad as a lot of people think, that we could probably get it back going again for not a terrible lot of money. But
okay.
I'd like to see it be done by the private sector, somebody who's out to make a profit, and let them make a profit.
Oh, profit! Are we supposed to be able to make a profit in today's world?
Well, the county governments are not designed to make profits.
Right.
So let's give it to individuals, because businesses, individuals, companies can take areas that the profit margin is almost non-existent, and they can survive. And if governments get involved in it, usually they lose the taxpayers' money. And my first thing is, don't lose the taxpayers' money. If somebody else wants to go out and invest it and lose their money,
sure,
pat them on the back and tell them, have fun.
Right.
But don't come with an idea that you may lose the taxpayers' money.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've talked about a lot of issues as we get ready to close this out. Are there any other things that you think we ought to bring to the fore here this afternoon?
Things to bring. No major issues that we haven't covered,
mm-hmm.
as far as I would like to say. Where I said I was running a tight campaign, I financed my whole campaign myself. I didn't take any donations from anybody.
How much did it cost you money, though, to defend yourself for the lawsuit?
No, I didn't hire a lawyer. I did it on my own. I filed my where you had to file a response.
Right.
I sat back and read several other people's responses and seen how they did it, and I was told that being that I didn't have a lawyer, that they would give me some leeway, file my own defense. That took some time, but it was kind of proud of myself to know that I did it. So I didn't type any money in legal fees. I figured either I win or lose, and I would rather lose and save that money for campaigning than spend it and then lose.
Exactly.
So
you financed your own campaign yourself. You haven't taken any donations.
No donations. I will give the Hodges Colesbury and the Ware Shoals Fire Department. I'll pay taxes on it. I mean, before I get a paycheck, they're going to take taxes out of it, and I'm going to hand it over to those. I'm alternate between fire departments for the first year. The fire departments have been hurt bad by funding. I talked to one just the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, the money's not there. And there's things they need, but that's going to hit true with most every agency or department.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Okay, go ahead, Bob. So you're going to give your first year's paycheck to the two fire departments.
Yes, and then after...
That's admirable.
Well, hey, I'm just trying to help. But then the next thing is, I would like to thank all the people. I mean, a lot of people have campaigns that raise money. They're going to throw big parties for celebrations or victories. I'm not. The money's gone. I ain't got it. So, and the people, they knew that. They knew that it was a campaign that was based off just looking for some progressive improvement. So I don't want to say change. It doesn't sound right.
Right, exactly.
I'm not running on change.
You're running on progressive improvement. I like that. Progressive improvement. Okay.
But some really nice people helped me, supported me, Democrats, Republicans, Independents. And I'd like to say thank you to all of them. I'd like to say thank you to my mom and dad for the way they raised me. And I'd like to say a real big thank you to my wife. How she's precious, and she has dealt with this, and... She's really been supportive in this. So,
absolutely. Well, Bob Fisher, we wish you all the best, and we certainly hope once you are installed as a county council person that you'll come back and give us updates on what's happening.
I will, and I expect the people to hold my feet to the fire to be sure I do.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to join the news in progress. You've been talking with me and Bob Fisher right here. Bob, if somebody's got a question, what's your phone number?
229-0968. That's my work number, but just call me right there.
Leave a message if you don't get him. That's what we do. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. That's going to do it for us. We've been talking with Bob Fisher. Bye-bye, everybody.